5 million older Americans have lost their homes in the housing crisis, and it says more are still at risk. Internet users in China have risen to 538 million, according to an industry group. That's 11% more than last year. It's being driven by the rapid growth of mobile web surfing. This is NBC News Radio. In Syria, more fighting in the capital of Damascus. A rebel bomb attack in what should have been one of the safest places in the country killed three Syrian regime senior officials. NBC's Ayman Mohyeldin is in Cairo.
The explosion, which took place as senior officials, including the Minister of Interior and others, were arriving for a closed meeting on the Syrian conflict, is the most brazen attack against the regime in close to 16 months of the fighting.
The United Nations Security Council is expected to vote today on new sanctions for Syria. No one has claimed responsibility for the bombing in Bulgaria of a bus full of Israeli tourists. The Israeli government blames Iran. Bulgaria says the suspected bomber was carrying a fake Michigan driver's license. And when the Emmy nominations are announced today, Mad Men could be on the path to setting a new record. It already has 4 Emmys for Best Drama Series. That ties it with Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law, and West Wing. If it wins a 5th, it will be the most ever. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
New research finds the golden years are anything but for a large number of older Americans facing foreclosure. A report by the AARP finds 1.5 million people age 50 and older lost their homes to foreclosure from 2007 to 2011, being hit at a faster rate than younger people. Hardest hit are those 75 and older. Last year, the foreclosure rate in that age group hit 3.2%, almost a tenfold jump from the rate in 2007. The 6 largest banks in America have been on a job-cutting tear of late, laying off 18,000 people in the past year, according to the Wall Street Journal. But the job axe is not done falling. The report says Bank of America, Credit Suisse, and Citigroup are revealing plans for more cuts. And Goldman Sachs reveals a plan to save money by keeping younger, cheaper workers at the expense of older workers. Stock indicators are up cautiously. S&P futures right now gaining 3 points. NASDAQ futures up 12. Dow futures up 40. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to SafeLight.com.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
Roofing pros. Right now at the Home Depot, buy a pallet of GAF shingles, including Timberline shingles with a lifetime limited warranty, and get your entire order, the shingles and any other supplies you need, delivered to your job site for free. You'll eliminate time-wasting supply runs and take your productivity through the roof, thanks to free delivery with any pallet of GAF shingles. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 15th, U.S. only. See store for...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. That question is, are you ready for change? And if you are, are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Good morning to you. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday, the 19th day of July 2012. I hope you are all doing well on this early morning, no matter what stage of awakeness you may be in. I don't think awakeness is a word, but nah, you get what I mean. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting day, that's for sure. We do have some updates on the J. Bulger Roy Schmidt case. As we continue to watch that unfold, we'll be dealing with that today with Mark Brewer late in the show. We'll be dealing with that tomorrow, where Minority House Leader Richard Hamel will be with us. That's tomorrow, as well as Jessica Tremantina, from the spokesperson from Progress, Michigan. This is not a story that's going to go away soon. This is not a story that should be going away soon, and this is not a story that has been completely told. The reason it hasn't been completely told is I believe, as many others do, there needs to be much more investigating going on. I think that there are still too many people like me that find it absolutely incredulous that fraud can be committed, yet it cannot be a crime. It's true. I mean, it's true. We certainly see that. But that doesn't mean that laws were not broken. And it doesn't mean it doesn't deserve a deeper investigation. So we'll explore all that as we work our way through the show today. We have actually a pretty amazing show for you today. Candidate for Congress in the 14th Congressional District, Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence, will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Find out what the mayor has to say. Of course, I just saw her on Monday at the Candidates Forum in Grosse Pointe. Emily Lawler with Mayor's News Service will be joining us as she continues to pinch hit for Susan Demas, who is on vacation. So we'll look forward to talking to Emily. We've got a lot of stuff to talk to with regard to the Capitol and the legislature, which was in session yesterday. So we'll get to all of that. Kevin Moore, our good friend from Teamsters Local 299, a lot of information as well from Kevin, and Mark Brewer, as I said, will join us at the very end of the program today to update us on what's happening with multiple calls for the speaker to resign, for the call for a deeper investigation, and just to get the Mark's opinion on what is going on as we continue to work through this scandal. And it is a scandal, no question about that. With all that said, it's time to get things going this morning.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
The first word today is abuse, and I don't know that we really need to define it much further than for its literal term. Abusing something, abuse of something, is to take it and use it in an unusual, unlawful, unacceptable way. There's no way that abuse is ever used in a positive context, so let's make that clear. And whether we're talking about the Speaker of the Michigan House, J. Bulger, or anybody else in your life, the word abuse is never and should never be mixed with anything positive. And we, we're really focused on making sure that the right thing gets done. Oftentimes in the pursuit of truth, as certainly any activist knows, and there are many amongst us listening to this show right now, you do get some abuse. And that never feels right. And it's never something that you necessarily invite upon yourself. Sometimes just showing up is enough to get it going. Sometimes, it just follows you, right? You all know what I'm saying. It's what it is. But abuse is something that we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we if we're going to accuse somebody of abuse, that truly is abuse. One of those things where you don't want to be overly dramatic, but you also want to make sure you're being extremely careful and truthful. If you're going to, again, accuse somebody of something, you should always do it based in fact. And to accuse somebody of abuse is a serious, serious offense that should carry serious consequences. Maybe that's where the frustration is for us sometimes. We see abuse all around us, and yet there seem to be no repercussions as a result. That doesn't mean anything but this, that we have to work just that much harder to make sure that when those that do wrong, that we do what we can to make things right. No matter what it takes to do that, do not give up. Today's first word is abuse. All right. Tigers abused the team with the Halos. How do you get the name Angels? Jeff, you have any idea what the origin of Angels is?
For why they named a baseball team?
Yeah, I'm just curious if there's a particular reason.
I don't know.
All right. I mean, I have no idea why the Tigers are the Tigers either, so it doesn't matter.
Well, the Tigers are very indigenous to this area.
Yes, of course. There are Tigers everywhere we
live. The wild packs of Tigers that run around Michigan.
Absolutely.
It's a lot like the wild packs of Wolverines. Yeah.
There are actually Wolverines in Michigan. Not many, but there are. I was actually thinking about this on the way in. I was listening to a radio station in the way in, and they were talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, and I went, yeah, those are two things that go together, Memphis and Grizzlies, because I know that there are all kinds of Grizzlies in Memphis, but that's just me.
Well, Lakers were actually in Minnesota. That's how they got their name. It's not like L.A. is full of lakes.
True. They have the La Brea Tar Pits, which is not a lake, of course, in any way, shape, or form.
The Los Angeles Tar Pitters.
Well,
something tells me that wouldn't fly too well.
No, not really. And I'm going to avoid the sticky puns, so I'll leave that alone. I'm just curious if you knew why they were the Angels. Anyway, Tigers won last night. Doug Pfister was amazing. He says it was his best game of the year. Who am I to argue with that?
Best game of, he had a great stretch last year. But I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't think people are giving enough credit to the Angels lineup. But it is. And that's the one thing I kept thinking last night, which, by the way, couldn't sleep at all. So I watched the entire game. All I could keep thinking is it's great that Pfister's doing this. It's great that they're going to at least get a split in this 4-game series and hopefully a chance to win this afternoon. But as well as he's pitching, that's just going to lend credibility to the people who want to bash what Porcello did on Monday and obviously what Turner did on Tuesday. And yet it's like you're not giving enough credit to a lineup that boasts probably the AL MVP and a rookie, Mike Trout. And then plus Pujols, who, in the first inning last night hit a solo shot. Mark Trumbo is nothing to scoff at. Torrey Hunter can still play some good ball. Howie Kendrick is a very good hitting second baseman. I can go up and down their lineup. That Angels lineup is incredibly dangerous. And I hand it to Doug Pfister. He pitched outstandingly well against that lineup.
Well, you, of course, did this again yesterday, so you obviously are trying to make a point to somebody. Somebody piss you off? Somebody come after you and say, hey, Jeff, you're not defending the Tigers enough? I'm just trying to...
Well, it's not defending the Tigers. I'm actually defending the Angels. I think the Angels are a much better team than people have been giving them credit for because they had such a slow start. And then, on top of it, if you want to rip on Porcello and Turner, then, you know, does that mean C.J. Wilson is a terrible pitcher because he gave up a bunch of runs last night to a team? I mean, come on, Garrett Richards, a rookie, held them, you know, scoreless two nights ago. So, obviously, Garrett Richards is much better than C.J. Wilson, right?
Yeah, well, Bo, I get your point. I get your point. Well, listen, it was funny. We were, and I'm sure you heard it yesterday when we left here, we turned on WDFN, and Jim Leland was on. Shep's on vacation, but Jim Leland was on with whoever was over there. I don't know who was over there. Anyway, it was just funny because they asked him about winning and losing, and he said, well, you know, last night's loss was actually easy because we were out of it from the beginning, so just some nights, you know, hey, you're going to lose today. And that was, we knew early on that we weren't going to win. Okay, well, there's the answer for you.
Isn't that the truth, though? I mean, to a certain extent, I kind of think, like, maybe they didn't pitch. It's not like the Angels, you know, had that great of pitching to keep them scoreless, but when you're down 7-0 that early on in the game, it's hard to rally the guys and be like, all right, we're going to make a comeback here. Oh, now it's 13-0. Okay, how about tomorrow?
Right. Well, and I'm sure there is some truth to that. Well, Turner will be pitching on Sunday, I believe, against the White Sox, so he didn't lose his next start, if that's what you were concerned about, Jeffrey. And so he will be pitching on Sunday, and I don't know, they're playing okay baseball right now. I mean, they're playing better than okay baseball. What are they, 9 out of their last 10?
Of their last 11.
Okay, well, not bad.
Not bad at all. Yeah. I mean, especially, I was just about to say, especially because you got 2 out of 3 so far against the Angels.
Right.
Sounds like I'm just, you know, hammering for the Angels. And then you got the White Sox coming up. Did you see what the White Sox did, by the way? They ruined my matchup that I wanted to see on Friday. It's still going to be a very good matchup, but it's Verlander versus Peavy now. And it was supposed to be Verlander versus Chris Sale.
I'm sorry.
Chris Sale is pitching he just as well as Weaver and Verlander. It would have been a great matchup for Friday night.
Well, PV will still, like you said, still be a good matchup. But it's nice when you've got two teams that have two really good pitching staffs. All right, a quick break here. We'll come back. A lot to get to. Of course, your calls are always welcome. 888-552-3595. We're up against it. We'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we still got that problem on 75 southbound just before 94 where you have tire debris in the roadway, so use some caution in that area. Also got road construction on 94 in both directions between County Line Road and 23 Mile Road. And 23 Mile Road eastbound at 94. The ramp to 94 eastbound is going to close tonight starting at 9 p.m. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony Trupiano. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now back to the show and Tony.
And I do want to welcome you all back. You know, it was interesting after the program yesterday, as often happens. So some, you know, what happens on air often does carry over into what happens off air, which is fine. I mean, that's part of why we do what we do. It's not about just doing, you know, 3 hours a day and then walking away because that's just not the way I live my life. And it's not just, you know, and we obviously on the Facebook page especially, we're rather engaged in a multiple of issues that we sometimes carry throughout the entire day and into the next day, which is not uncommon. We've had an ongoing, I don't want to call it a dispute because it really isn't a dispute. It's pretty clear what needs to be done, but we've had an ongoing dialogue, if you will, with a candidate that's afraid to come on the show, afraid to, you know, say what he is, and that's fine. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You kind of learn to deal with it. We had David Kinesic on the show yesterday, who is running against that young man. David Kinesic's a very serious candidate for the state house in Michigan's 11th House District. Parts of Dearborn Heights, Garden City, Westland, Livonia, Inkster. And there's another young man running, as you all know, by the name of Cody Bailey, who is a faux Democrat. He's not a Democrat. He's a Republican. And, you know, and I get that his dad and his cousins and his campaign manager are defending him. I find it odd that he never defends himself. And what's really interesting is that I had posted to the Facebook page yesterday, you know, once again inviting Cody Bailey on the show. And so I said to his campaign manager, you know, have your candidate come on the show. He's my candidate. I don't tell my candidate what to do. He makes his own decisions. So it's obvious that he doesn't want to come on the show. If he's making his own decisions, which is fine, I'm glad to hear that. He's just not wanting to come on the show. He's not wanting to answer some simple questions like, why would you take the Michigan Chamber of Commerce endorsement as a Democrat? Other Democrats took it, a couple, I think two, but actually there might have been him and another. But beside the point, no serious Democrat takes that endorsement. Same with the Michigan Restaurant Association, same with the ABC endorsement and others. And so what's really interesting is that that he is like proudly putting out there that he has got these endorsements when, you know, the majority of us, serious Democrats understand what that means. It means that he's really a Republican. And so what? It is what it is. They've decided, though, to make it personal. Now I'm a piece of crap and now, you know, I'm unfair and I'm this and that. And I've not made this personal at all. I've made this about issues. I've never done anything but make this about issues. I don't know the young man, so why would I make it personal? Now, they've decided to make it personal, and that's their, again, that's their business. And apparently, they're all new to politics because you can't get involved with politics and expect to not get your hands dirty, right? I mean, stop and think about the idea that if you're going to be in a primary or in the general election, you're going to have an opponent. You know, people are going to say stuff about you. Sometimes that stuff's not true. Here's the difference. I do my homework. Now, if something's been my opinion, I've said it's my opinion. If something's been fact, I represent it as such. So I feel very confident and comfortable what I'm doing. It's just now they're making it personal. Here's the funny thing. And I want to thank those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis that were corresponding with me yesterday. Cody Bailey's father, who I'm not going to name by name, has his own Facebook page, and they decided to go over there and bash me, not thinking that others would be watching, which they were. And some guy out of Sterling Heights, and I don't know if it's his cousin or what the relationship is, decides that I'm public enemy number one, and that I'm the left Taliban. I think that's exactly what he called me, the left Taliban. Which is hilarious, because if this guy's a Democrat, he knows I'm the Democrat's best friend. In fact, I've probably done more for the Democratic Party than most of the people that will ever run for office or get elected. And I you know, of course, stand by my record. I just, folks, this is about making proper choices. It'd be different another time, maybe in another time you consider somebody like this 21-year-old kid, but this is a very serious time. I go back, and I've said this now a couple times, I go back to young Republican darling Andrea LaFontaine, who is too young to be serving, had no experience, and really lucked her way into a state House seat. And I'd feel differently about her, as I said either last week or the week before. If I asked her a question and she could answer it the way she answers her correspondence, that intelligently, then I'd be okay with it. But I know she can't do that. In fact, most people wouldn't talk the way her and stuff gets answered. So I'm just, there's a time for us to be very serious. I think we should always be very serious about who our lawmakers are. But this is actually taking me to a very different discussion, and it's about term limits. When we eliminated term limits here in the state of Michigan, we did ourselves a huge disservice. And anybody that listens to me on a regular basis knows that I'm not a big fan of term limits, never have been a big fan of term limits, never will be a big fan of term limits, because it takes good, seasoned, responsible legislators, both Republican and Democrat, out of the process. It forces them out. And say what you want to about career politicians. You know, there's something to be said about people that do something professionally. They're a professional for a reason. You certainly wouldn't want your doctor, to be part-time. You wouldn't. You wouldn't want a lawyer that's part-time. You wouldn't even want a, certainly wouldn't want a dentist. I don't even know that you want a butcher that's part-time. Think about this. Yet when it comes to people that are going to craft our laws, we have no problem limiting how much time they can serve. And here's the crazy part. Just when they're getting enough experience to do the job fairly damn well, they're no longer allowed to do it. How much sense does that make to you? And so when we go to elect people, we need to make sure that we're doing it in a very smart way, and that's why we can't throw not even one seat away. The question's been asked with Cody Bailey, and then there are others. Why are we, why would I, Tony Trupiano, why would I want to keep young people and moderate Democrats away from the party? Because I don't believe that young people are experienced enough to be making decisions that they will be asked to make, number one. That's not to say that young people shouldn't be involved in the party. They should. I'm just not so sure they should be elected. Yet. It's about experience. trust me, the way Cody Bailey feels about something today might be different than he feels about it 10 years from now. Or, I'll remind you, he was worked for the Romney campaign and at one point said Sarah Palin was the best vice presidential pick ever. Oh, and Mitt Romney, when he wrote Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, Cody Bailey couldn't agree more. All right, I'm just saying, folks, if they want to play that game, I can play it, and I'm going to play it better than they do. Let's take a break. We'll get to some audio on the other side. Stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by NBC.
Taking a look at your traffic, we still got that problem on 75 southbound just before 94 where you have tire debris in the roadway, so use some caution in that area. Also got road construction on 94 in both directions between County Line Road and 23 Mile Road. And 23 Mile Road eastbound at 94. The ramp to 94 eastbound is going to close tonight starting at 9 p.m. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Next Friday, the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage. Don't miss the biggest event of the year, the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Next Friday, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and the other Wall Street behemoths that dominate American banking? Who needs them? After enduring years of insatiable greed by the slick-fingered hucksters who run these gambling houses, after watching in dismay as their ineptness and avarice drain more than $19 trillion from America's household wealth since 2007 and plunged our real economy into financial crisis, after seeing them get trillions of dollars in taxpayer bailouts to save their banks and their jobs, and now, after learning that they've returned to paying multimillion dollar bonuses to themselves, we have to ask, huh? Oh, no, no, cry the banking titans. Don't even think of looking behind the curtain. Trust us, for we are essential to juicing the economy with our complex abracadabra investment schemes. In fact, however, those schemes just move money around, siphoning real investment capital from the grassroots up to super-rich global profiteers. Shell games at carnival sideshows are more honest than big bank trading houses, for the hustles of J.P. Morgan, Goldman, BOA, etc. are based on financial illusions, off-the-books accounting, illegally leveraged borrowing, ridiculous tax subsidies, and hide-the-pee secrecy. This is Jim Hightower saying, the obvious truth is that these high-flying, high-tech, high-speed emporiums of high finance serve themselves, not us. So we have no obligation or need to keep serving them. Of course we need banks to lend to us consumers and our productive businesses, to handle our commercial transactions, to manage our savings and provide financial advice, etc. But that's not what the Leviathans of Wall Street do. So, rather than protecting them, let's decentralize America's capital, reinvesting our public trust in community banks and credit unions that actually serve it and deserve it.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift. and Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. This is a bigger story than perhaps we're giving it credit for, and certainly not giving it as much attention as we normally would. With so much going on right now, it's really difficult to give everything the time that it deserves, and this story does certainly deserve some time. I have been very, very critical of Mayor Dave Bing, who I continue to call a Dino, which is a Democrat in name only. And the reason for that is he is imposing a contract, imposing, which is another way of forcing pay cuts and layoffs on a group of people that have been loyal and committed to the city of Detroit. Forcing them to take less pay, less benefits, etc. Man, where do we even begin with this? Let's go with the union response. Let's start. What is the union response to Mayor Dave Bing's force cuts?
Union leaders tell me that they have already met with legal staff today, and right now active union members are meeting here to talk about what they're going to do next.
The mayor has consistently lied to the unions and to the public.
Strong words from Ed McNeil, the chief negotiator of unions for the city of Detroit. This after Mayor Dave Bing implements wage and benefits cuts to about 40 of the city's unions. Their contracts expired on June 30th. McNeil says the cuts simply go too far.
He's just turned his backs on those individuals. A lot of those individuals already was receiving public assistance. We had already agreed to the 10% cut. But the health care, he went beyond where we went on the health care.
Mayor Bing said the city could no longer borrow money to cover its deficit spending, and he had to take action now.
This is a tough day for me, a tough day for city workers, and a tough day for all Detroiters.
Yesterday, Detroit City Council voted to reject $102 million in union pay and benefits cuts. But the mayor says because of the city's financial stability agreement with the state, he was able to direct his administration to impose the city employment terms anyway. The plan includes a 10% pay cut and changes to work rules and health care.
We know it's painful on our employees, but this allows us to fix the problem in an orderly manner. If we do nothing, there'll be chaos.
I asked the mayor if he's worried about legal challenges from the unions. Bing says he is expecting them and will take them on one by one.
I think it would be the wrong thing for us to do and sit back and do nothing. We have to act, and we have to act now.
We're told wage reductions will be implemented in about 3 or 4 weeks. Healthcare changes will take a little longer.
All right. Well, obviously, this is a serious problem. Now, the Detroit Police Department also affected by these cuts, and this is what they had to say.
It was a heated and tense meeting, and they say that morale will tank within the ranks of the officers in DPD. And there were some officers tonight that were even talking strike.
How do you guys feel about what happened to you today?
No difference!
The leader of Detroit's police officers union fires up the troops and prepares them for a big fight. Hundreds of officers pack this UAW hall on 8 Mile to get the bad news. Like other city unions, they're supposed to take a 10% pay cut effective immediately and accept big changes to their health care and work rules.
They're not looking at the impact, and I like to correct you, they're looking at dollars and no damn cents.
There was talk of striking during tonight's emergency meeting, but union leaders say they know it's illegal and it won't happen.
We're not going to have any stoppages or slowdowns, or we're not going to have any strikes, obviously. These are professional individuals. They're going to do their job.
We can't strike. However, there are things that we can do and we will do to let our frustration be heard.
For the brave men and women here tonight, these cuts amount to more than just a financial blow. It's much more than that.
Well, I really care about the city. I went to Henry Ford High School. I'm raising my kids here, you know, and it's just something that really speaks to what they're doing downtown.
A lot of people, you know, that have family members that are on the job, that have kids, that their kids are sick. How are they going to be able to afford to put food on their table?
Taking a second job. I have to do what I have to do to make ends meet, so.
Officers are also upset over death benefits. Under the new contract, the city has the power to change these policies. And the cuts amount to several $100 a month out of the paychecks of most officers in DPD. As for this matter, it is already in the courts. Reporting live downtown, I'm Tom Waits, 7 Action News.
You know, I don't know that there's a whole lot of difference anymore between here and what happened in Scranton, Pennsylvania, where they cut everybody to minimum wage and said, well, let's work it out in court. This is ridiculous. I understand that they don't have money. I get that. But, you know, let me give you a quick story. This happened yesterday. A 9-year-old boy jumps off the 9th story of his apartment building in a suicide, a successful suicide attempt, yes, at 9 years old. EMS never showed up. An ambulance never shows up because of cuts in the city. How is this acceptable in anybody's view. How is this acceptable? I get what the mayor said. It's very, very hard to make these. Not a good day for me. Well, you know what, Mr. Mayor? Perhaps if you'd been a little stronger leader early on in your term, that you wouldn't have to be making the decisions you're making now. Maybe if you were better at attracting business and therefore increasing revenue. Oh, well, gee, there's a thought. You wouldn't be where you're at now. You can't expect people to be grateful to have a job. And I think that Mr. Mayor, Mr. Dave Bang, that's what it is. I think you are thinking the people that are left behind, because that's how it's beginning to feel. It's beginning to feel like people are left behind. They're not grateful to you, Dave Bing. They're not. They're not grateful that they have a job. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Amir in Detroit. My brother, how are you today?
Tony, I'm great, as always, and thank you for taking my call. As I've stated before, with the city of Detroit, all the cuts are ignorant. First off, you're cutting out your revenue. Second off, if all the unions really want to stop this, they need to support residency so that we can actually have our jobs for the people in the city of Detroit. Attracting business to the city of Detroit would be easier if we were trying to make the city of Detroit safer, if we were trying to educate our children. But since we're trying to privatize and corporatize the city of Detroit, this is what we're getting. Dave Bing's never been a Democrat. I don't know what he is, to be honest with you. The police unions, they supported him when he ran, so these are the things that we're going to get from this man. And the thing I don't understand, didn't they put this financial board in front of the city of Detroit and earn them people making $200,000+ a year?
Oh, no, they're making 20. Well, the heads of these departments are. The actual board members are making $25,000 a year.
No, I'm talking about the dissent decree financial people.
No. They make $25,000 a year.
Okay.
Yeah. No. The project manager and the CEO makes the $220,000, but the regular board members make $25,000 a year.
Okay. Now that I can deal with, but the ones that's making over two, when are you going to cut all your wages down? Cut your wages down by 50%. Give something back to the city since you want to help. And most of these people are supposed to be financially stable and sound anyway. You should be doing it voluntarily if you really want to help.
Yeah, but Amir, you know, you listen to what Ed McNeil said. There are people working for the city of Detroit that are already on assistance. They can't they can't get by on $10 an hour.
I have family members that work for the city, so I do understand that and I do know that. And this is my point to a lot of people in the city of Detroit and even the administration downtown. You can't keep cutting your throat. If we keep cutting our throat, we get our people that work for the city on welfare. This makes no sense. Why we don't look at giving them a better wage, which one will raise our revenue dollars coming into the city, and two, cut all the private contracts out that the city of Detroit can do, because now instead of just paying 3% overhead, you're paying 15% to 20% overhead. So that to me would make sense to cut out a lot of the private contracts, because you can cut out 12% to 15% of what you're paying over and bring it back in the city That's more tax revenue. That's people in your city that's going to be employed. That's giving jobs. That's turning our city around. So if we start thinking in those terms instead of thinking the Republican ideology of how to do things is slash and burn, privatize and corporatize, we will have a better city. So once people in we all in the city of Detroit get this understanding that, hey, this is our city, that's our money, stop giving it away to everybody else.
Couldn't agree more. Amir, thank you so much, as always, for your call, and I appreciate your clarity on this. It's this is really bothersome. This very disturbing. And just go to any of the papers. Watch the news, and you're going to see person after person after person literally outraged by what's going on. And I would feel so differently about this if the unions hadn't gone out of their way to try to work through this stuff months, if not years ago. And they were rebuked. And Mayor Bing has done absolutely nothing, literally nothing, to work with unions. This man supposedly ran, well, is he supposed to be nonpartisan? Is he supposed to be a Democrat? We'll call him a Cody Bailey Democrat. How's that? Just bad stuff. All right, quick break here. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Some interesting sound on the other side, some weird stuff going on, but we'll get to it all, I promise. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
With Tony Trupiano. President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. We're going to continue to keep an eye on what's happening with these forced cuts by Mayor Dave Bing to the loyal workers in the city of Detroit, and we will bring you all and any updates as we get them. This is obviously a big, big story, and we need to make sure that we keep you involved front and center. All right, you know, and we haven't talked about Michelle Bachmann in a long time, and that's probably a good thing, especially based on this next story. For those of you that are not aware of what she did yesterday, she is accusing one of former Senator and current Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's staffers of being part of something called the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, her name is Huma Abedin, and Huma is, again, I've been assistant to Hillary Clinton for years now. A beautiful woman. Some of you actually may know her as the wife of disgraced and former Congressman Anthony Weiner, who resigned in disgrace after posing shirtless on Craigslist and emailing pictures of himself inappropriately. Anyway, I often, and as I would have on Monday when John McCain was here, have problems with John McCain. But every now and then, there's that 2% of the time where he actually does the right thing. Let's listen to what he did yesterday.
Rarely do I come to the floor of this body to discuss particular individuals, but I understand how painful and injurious it is when a person's character, reputation, and patriotism are attacked without concern for fact or fairness. It's for that reason that I come to the floor today to speak regarding the attacks recently on a fine and decent American, Huma Abedin. Over the past decade, I've had the pleasure of knowing her during her long and dedicated service to Hillary Rodham Clinton, both in the United States Senate and now in the Department of State. I know Huma to be an intelligent, upstanding, hardworking, and loyal servant of our country and our government, who has devoted countless days of her life to advancing the ideals of the nation she loves and looking after its most precious interests. That she has done so while maintaining her characteristic decency, warmth, and good humor is a testament to her ability to bear even the most arduous duties with poise and confidence. Put simply, Huma Abedin represents what is best about America, the daughter of immigrants, who has risen to the highest levels of our government on the basis of her substantial personal merit and her abiding commitment to the American ideals that she embodies. I am proud to know her, and I am proud, even maybe with some presumption, to call her my friend. Recently, it has been alleged that Huma Abedin, a Muslim American, is part of a nefarious conspiracy to harm the United States by unduly influencing U.S. foreign policy at the Department of State in favor of the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamist causes. On June 13th, five members of Congress wrote to the Deputy Inspector General of the Department of State demanding that he begin an investigation into the possibility that Huma Abedin and other American officials are using their influence to promote the cause of Muslim Brotherhood within the U.S. government. The information offered to support these serious allegations is based on a report, quote, "The Muslim Brotherhood in America," which is produced by the Center for Security Policy. And I'd like to point out, I have worked with the Center for Security Policy. Its friend, the head of it, is a longtime friend of mine. But still, this report is scurrilous. To say that the accusations made in both documents are not substantiated by the evidence they offer is to be overly polite and diplomatic about it. It is far better and more accurate to talk straight. These allegations about Huma Abedin and the report from which they are drawn are nothing less than an unwarranted and unfounded attack on an honorable citizen, a dedicated American, and a loyal public servant.
And obviously, you know, one of his better moments, there's no question about that. So we appreciate Senator McCain stepping forward and defending the honor of somebody who needed to be defended. So I will give him credit for that. But let us not forget how this conversation began with the two words, Michelle Bachmann. Oh, Michelle Bachmann says that we're overreacting. This is not what she was doing. She was actually just trying to concern herself with the national security of the United States of America. And under that banner, the founder of the Tea Party caucus in the House of Representatives at the federal level continues to hide behind the reality of who she really is. We'll call her a Cody Bailey Republican. Oh, folks, come on. Let's just be honest about it. Michelle Bachmann absolutely does nothing based in any kind of reality that any one of us, well, maybe if you're really conservative, perhaps Mark in Birmingham's listening this morning, that would be able to find anything she says or does palatable. I mean, let's, again, be honest about it. This woman doesn't have... She just doesn't have her head screwed on right all the time. Take that for what it's worth. It's really difficult for me to take someone seriously like Michelle Bachmann or Sarah Palin or others. They deliberately and bold-faced lie their way through whatever it is they want to position to make themselves look better. They will say and do anything, and we have been able to prove that repeatedly. They will say and do anything so that, and it's only their constituency. And when I say constituency, I don't mean all of the people they represent, because some of the people they represent are Democrats. And in fact, some of the people they represent are Republicans, and Michelle Bachmann is not a Republican. At least not one that we recognize in any way, shape, or form.
Isn't it incredibly dangerous what she's doing and saying? I mean, to lie in this manner, and to be happy about it. Like, the stories came out about Hillary, you know, the Egyptians attacking Hillary. And you know, it's almost like people like Bachmann were gleeful about it. And yet, it's because of her lies that they don't know the truth, so that they attack her, and now she's putting American, you know, people in danger when they go visit other places.
Yeah, well, this goes back to a simple oath that she took, Michelle Bachmann, that is, to protect and defend the Constitution. I'm going to suggest that Michelle Bachmann's never read the Constitution. I'll suggest that she doesn't understand it, and I'll suggest she could care less what it says, because it doesn't really suit whatever it is her agenda is. You want to talk about terrorists? I'm not calling Michelle Bachmann a terrorist. I am not calling Michelle Bachmann a terrorist, but she certainly isn't the patriotic American we would want her to be, is she? When we think about members of the United States Congress, is this what we think they should look like, they should be like, they should act like? You know, with all the problems and even all the differences I might have with John McCain, he had a very proud, patriotic moment. And for 2 minutes and 45 seconds, he stood up and defended a woman who is a known Democrat. Not a known Muslim, God forbid, a known Democrat. She has stepped up, Huma has, and served her country proudly. So some Republicans, like John McCain, can honor that service. Others, like Michelle Bachmann, can disgrace that service. I'll let you decide. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. Southfield Mayor and candidate for Congress, Brenda Lawrence, when First Shift continues. Stay where you're at. This is 1310 WDTW. First Shift will continue right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Taking a look at your traffic, looking good so far. No problems to report. Do have construction notes. Dix Toledo Road northbound at 75. That on-ramp's going to be closed through mid-November. 6 Mile Road eastbound at the 275 northbound ramp. That's going to be closed starting at 10 a.m. until noon. Then on the flip side, the 275 southbound on-ramp's going to close from noon until 2. And also on 23 Mile Road eastbound at 94, that ramp's going to be closed beginning tonight at 9 p.m. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Looking for a hot new way to pop? Introducing new Spicy Chicken McBites. Crispy, poppable pieces of juicy chicken breast with a spicy kick. New Spicy Chicken McBites, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
The FDA says this one works, but it's not for everybody. NBC's Tom Costello.
Qsymia is the second obesity drug to get FDA approval just this summer. But 2 years ago, the FDA refused to approve it, concerned about increased heart rates and birth defects.
George Zimmerman says he's sorry. The Florida man charged with murder in the Trayvon Martin shooting, telling Fox News that he apologizes to Martin's parents, but also says he never pursued the unarmed teen and that Martin assaulted him. Stats show more laid-off Americans are dipping into their retirement savings to make ends meet. Making matters worse, those savings are often underfunded to begin with. And to your health? Maybe not. A new study says alcohol may be bad medicine for seniors. Researchers at the Alzheimer's Conference in Canada say binge drinking among those 65 and older can more than double the risk of cognitive decline. This is NBC News Radio. It's battleground Damascus as fighting heats up in Syria's civil war. Anti-regime activists say Bashar al-Assad's troops are shelling neighborhoods in and around the capital a day after a bomb killed three members of Assad's inner circle. The drought of 2012, already the worst in half a century, and as NBC's Kevin Tibbles reports, every day without rain hurts farmers a little bit more.
The ever-growing list of drought disaster areas now stands at more than 1,200 counties. And Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said three-fifths of the American landmass has been affected by this lack of rain, and he's called on Congress to assist the American farmer.
Wall Street's looking up. Stock futures are higher after yesterday's surge on good news from the housing market. And take a big gulp. This means war. Coke and Pepsi are leading the fight against New York's proposed ban on supersized sugary drinks, arguing that limiting soda containers to 16 ounces only jacks up the price for thirsty consumers. I'm Chris Janting, NBC News Radio.
Hi, Dave Lennox here. Summer is here and it is hot. If your home is not cool, now's the perfect time to replace that inefficient heating and cooling system. Lennox is offering a rebate of up to $1,375 on a new high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system, so you'll save money today and in the long run. It may also qualify for state and local incentives in your area. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you and get comfortable today.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Only the Home Depot has Ridgid's new 18-volt X4 Hyperlithium Ion two-piece combo kit for just $179. A $298 value that includes a compact drill, impact driver, two batteries, and a carrying bag. Unlock the power of Hyperlithium technology. We've got the combination. The new Ridgid X4 combo kit for just $179. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Many of us have seen the devastating effect of the foreclosure crisis on families, but the problem has hit the elderly far more than many had dared think. New research compiled by AARP finds that from 2007 to 2011, 1.5 million Americans 50 and older were removed from their homes through foreclosure. Hardest hit were people 75 and older, 3.2% of whom were in some stage of foreclosure last year. As the world becomes ever more a world of smartphones over traditional handsets, Nokia keeps watching its fortunes erode. The company says its loss widened again last quarter as sales fell 19%. The once dominant cell phone maker is pinning great hope on its fledgling line of Nokia Lumia smartphones, which run on Microsoft. It says Microsoft's release of Windows 8 later this year ought to help Lumia sales. Microsoft announced late yesterday that Windows 8 will be released on October 26th. Stock futures gaining, S&P futures up 7. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to SafeLight.com.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triviano.
And welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning program. As you'll all recall, on Monday night, I went out to the Grosse Pointe War Memorial and was honored to be able to moderate a candidates forum in the 14th Congressional District. One of the participants is my next guest, and she really is no stranger not only to this audience, but to many of you because of the public service work she has been doing for a very, very long time now. That doesn't mean she's old. I'm not suggesting that. She's just been she's been around a while, and she's done a lot of good work for so many of us. And we all think, of course, very highly of Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence. As many of you know as well, she is running for Congress in Michigan's 14th Congressional District, and she wanted to come on and talk with you today. So we turn our attention now to the mayor herself. In your honor, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning. It's an honor to be with you. And after seeing you and see you perform in life on Monday, it's exciting to talk to you.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. We did have a nice evening, and the crowd was wonderful. You had a lot of supporters in the crowd, Mayor Brenda Lawrence, and that had to be empowering for you.
This has been an amazing journey, this campaign for Congress. As you know, I was chosen to be a lieutenant governor candidate, and we traveled all over the state. But in this 14th district, it's home. And so when I moved throughout, and you know, this district snakes throughout this region, it is it's encouraging, and I feel really energized in this election.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the district, because it actually goes from Detroit all the way up through Oakland County and Southfield, where, of course, you are the mayor.
Yes.
In the different parts of Oakland County, and if you were to just kind of take a step back, and I think my producer Jeff put it the right way, if you were to give a kindergartner a crayon and a map and say, "Go ahead," and they would start scribbling, that's what the 14th would look like.
The 14th is an amazing, amazing, everyone has described it as the classic example of gerrymandering, but if you look at it, you know, all of the Grosse Pointe, Harper Woods, Detroit, Royal Oak Township, Oak Park, Southfield, Farmington Hills, West Bloomfield, Kegel Harbor, Orchard Lake, Sylvan Lake, Pontiac, and Hamtramck, that is an amazing, you know, think of the diversity of that, not only in the different strong ethnic groups that I represented, the Jewish, the African Americans, majority African American, the Chaldean community, the Bangladesh, the Hispanic community, the white community. Then you have the economies. You hamtramck about it. You have Hamtramck and you have Grosse Pointe. You have Orchard Lake. You have water issues. You know, at the forum, you know, one of the questions about our freshwater body. And then you have an urban area, the largest in the country, Detroit represented, the bridge, International Bridge is part of this district. It is amazing. And then you have Pontiac, which is under a financial manager. It is amazing. And you have a strong middle class in this district as well. And then I talk often about the diversity in the schools, because you have some of the highest performing school districts and some of the most at-risk school districts in one district.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, Mayor Lawrence. As a member of Congress, you would be representing some of the wealthiest, and some of the poorest, some of the most successful, some of the least successful schools in the state of Michigan, not just in the 14th Congressional District, in
exactly.
the state of Michigan. How do you effectively lead when you have that kind? I love the word diversity because it's true, and nobody understands it better than you do. Southfield really is the melting pot yes. of Southeast Michigan. But how do you effectively lead when there are so many demands like that?
You know, I constantly use the term I'm uniquely qualified. When you're a mayor of a city such as Southfield, you know, I have the Fortune 500 business world right here in my hands. So I have the millionaires and the major players in our country sitting at my doorstep. And then I also have a large immigration of Russian population that comes into my city. I have Nigerian population that migrates to my city. And I have the responsibility of dealing with my seniors, dealing with construction issues with our roads, talking to a CEO. And so your world continuously, the table, you sit at the table all day and it's constantly changing, and the issues and the responsibilities are continuous. And so I'm energized about this. I can sit at the table with a millionaire CEO and then go talk to a senior about their concern about their ability to get services or transportation needs. So I'm ready for it. The thing that I say to every voter is that understand it's always about what's in it for me. But the person that we send to Congress for this new 14th district must be able to relate, understand, and be a voice for all of the people in this district.
Well, fair enough. And so that brings us to our the next topic, because this was something you mentioned during the candidates forum on Monday, and you really, and because of the format of the forum, you really didn't have a chance, and had I been able to independently ask questions, I would have done that. I just didn't have that ability. But you talked about needing an urban agenda. Can you explain that to myself and the audience, Mayor Lawrence? Because I think that there's some critical information in there that we just didn't have time to get out on Monday.
That is, again, my city, Southfield, is defined as a suburban, urban, or urban suburban community because I'm an edge city to major urban city. We all know that Detroit is classified as an urban community. Across the country, you have all these large major urban centers. Chicago, you have New York, you have LA, you have Boston area. So urban cities have some common denominators. First of all, when you put all your large major urban cities together, it's the economic engine of this country. That's where most of the money is made, most of the people live, and most of the social issues are played out every day and challenges, because you have the bulk of the people and the most diverse and most of the challenges. So when I talked, you know, I've been invited by the president to the White House because I'm in leadership for the U.S. Conference of Mayors. When we go there, we talk about, Mr. President, and we talk to our legislators, you have to have an urban agenda. What is an urban agenda? Where you clearly have a priority that if we are going to survive as a country, our large urban centers must be able to educate the mass of children that live in that area with some of the greatest challenges or barriers to them achieving their education. It's clear, it's documented. The Head Start program, the Title I. Because, Tony, when I talk about one of my priorities being education, this is a global issue. This generation will be competing with other countries at an educational level. And will we, as these United States, be ready? If we clearly had an urban agenda on a national level to attack the outcome of children in these urban centers, and turn that around where these children can overcome because of the priority on education, those roadblocks, so that they can be competitive and be contributing. The only way you can contribute to the United States and be an active part, you must be educated. The other urban agenda is a safety issue, the crime, and inherently when there's masses of people, when there's social issues, when you have people that, look at what we're going through in Detroit now. I mean, the economy has forced some of the discussions we've had. But my goodness, how can we cut back on our police in an area that is one of the highest crime areas? And those are issues. Yes, they're being played out in Detroit. This is being replicated all over the country. An urban agenda where our federal government understands if these large cities, like we say here, we say it every day in Michigan. If Detroit doesn't survive, Michigan doesn't survive. Well, you know what? In California, if L.A. doesn't survive, California doesn't survive. In Illinois, the same discussion. So having a clear urban agenda, my responsibility as a congresswoman is to contribute to that to make sure Detroit, there is a concerted, planned effort to support this urban center in our region. Police, education, infrastructure, those should be a priority.
All right, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We've got to take a break. I'm assuming you can stay with us?
Yes.
Great. Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence, also candidate for Congress in Michigan's newly minted 14th Congressional District. We've got more for her. If you've got a question or comment, feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. We'll take a very quick break here. We'll continue with Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence right after we do this.
First Shake with Tony Trupiano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your roadways, and we got some early morning problems. Let's head over to Gratiot Avenue in both directions at 26 Mile. That is closed. That's due to a bad accident there. Also on 75 southbound near Grand River, accident has your center lane blocked. And eastbound 94 near Gratiot, accident has your left shoulder blocked. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Bureau Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Havel, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Savos.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence, my guest. She is a candidate for Congress in Michigan's 14th Congressional District. The primary is a few short weeks away. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, folks, in the 14th district, the primary pretty much is the general. I'm not giving it away, but I'm saying this is critical. And, you know, and I got to tell you, Brenda, we need to talk a little bit about your history of public service. I said you've been around a while. I think people need to understand where you came from, you know, how much you've given to the communities that you've been involved in, and remind people, you know, where you came from. I just think it's important people know who you are. That's all.
And I think that's what gives me the experience and the ability to relate to this district. I was born and raised in Detroit, proud graduate of Pershing High School, bought my first home in Detroit, married my childhood sweetheart 40 years this month. And then I moved my family to Oakland County, and I've been here about 28 years. 20 of those years has been in public service. I served on the school board, was president of that, served on the city council, was president of that body, and then been mayor for 11 years, and had the opportunity to be chosen to run as a lieutenant governor candidate for the Democratic ticket in this last election. Also serve on the executive body of the U.S. Conference of Mayors and have traveled internationally representing mayors and meeting prime ministers in other countries, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Japan, and Jamaica, and very excited about having those opportunities. In addition to that, I'm also on the board for the Michigan Association of Mayors, appointed by the governor, sit on the Judicial Tenure Commission, serve on the board of directors for Providence St. John Hospitals. So I have been, and that's just a small part of it, but that has been my involvement, and every piece of that has put together, it's like a puzzle of enabling me and empowering me to be able to represent. I think so many times we forget that. We're running for Congress, but you're electing a representative. You know, I served, I was employed 30 years in human resources and worked for the Postal Service. I started out as a letter carrier, walking door to door. I sorted mail on midnight shift, you know, and moved up the ranks in the Postal Service to state and regional management. So these are things that I bring that are unique, that forms this package. That I can talk about union issues because I was a union member. And I also can talk about EEO issues and discrimination because I served as an EEO investigator. So these are things that has prepared me to be sensitive, to be educated. My degree is in public administration from Central Michigan. And I'm ready to take on this task. I'm very qualified. And Tony, the thing that I also like to say is that women are only 17% of Congress, but we make up 51% of the population in Michigan. And if every woman who runs is elected this year, we will have less women in Congress than we have had in over 30 years.
Yeah, I've been really disturbed by not only in Congress, even at the state level.
At the state level.
I'm really, really disappointed. We saw, and Mayor Lawrence, we see what's happening to women in this country and in this state. Republicans, especially, seem to be hell-bent on this, what's called a war on women. I don't know anybody that wants to deny that can go ahead and deny it if they want to, but it's clear to us that, without Democrats, where would women be right now? We need more women in politics.
We need more women. This is a hard profession. As passionate as much as I love it, I would not be telling the truth if I could say this is the easiest, most, you know, enjoyable position career you can pick. And a lot of women choose not to go in it because you're publicly scrutinized, you're attacked, and it's very, very demanding when it comes on, you know, demands of this job as relationship to your responsibility to your family. It's extremely challenging. So anyone that goes into this and chooses it, I mean, I have a certain amount of respect for them. However, I have a saying that when a woman sits at the table, the conversation changes. And there's not a man or woman alive that will deny that. If you put all men in the room, the conversations are different when a woman comes and sits at the table. And I'm running saying it's time to change that conversation. And if we don't have a voice and a place at the table, that conversation is going to continue to force the women's issues and voices to become less and less relevant.
Well, it's important. You know, there's no question, Mayor Lawrence. It's important that as we look to elect people, that we start to ask different questions, that we pay attention, that we ask questions, that we pay attention, that we hold them accountable. You would expect, as you are the mayor of Southfield, that once you were elected, your constituents want to hold you accountable, you welcome that. Not everybody does, but you do. You want to be held accountable. We live in important times. Let me just, before we run out of time, throw this out to you. I, as you know, I do a lot of public speaking all over Southeast Michigan, and I keep on delivering this phrase. We've always been told, Mayor Lawrence, that this is the most important elections of our lives. I honestly believe this one really is. Your thoughts on that?
You know, all the congressional seats across the country were redrawn. That's what we do every 10 years. But as a result of redrawing those districts, we lost a district in the state of Michigan. And so that has moved and pushed people to different areas. What we have before us congressionally is new districts with no incumbents in them and individuals running, multiple people running for that seat. And so as we go to the polls on August 7th, and I'm putting my name out there to represent a brand new district, to represent a district I've lived in my whole life, but there's other vying for it. It's extremely important that we have an educated constituency and that we have respect the primary, the importance of the primary. So many people sleep and say, oh, I'll just go to the polls in November. The primary and this year is going to be critical because, like in the 14th, whoever wins the primary is going to be the congressperson for that. And so I'm really pushing this year, our presidential election. My goodness, if you are anywhere tuned in on the discussions that are happening with the Republican agenda, we must wake up. And I tell you this, Tony, I am a living example, being on that ticket for governor, that elections have consequences.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Mayor Lawrence, we are out of time for today. I want to thank you for giving us so generously of your time this morning.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for staying in the seat and keeping the voices alive. I do appreciate it.
You know I care about you a great deal, and one of my favorite people in the world is your own, Chris Jensen. You're lucky to have her, and I know you know that. Mayor Lawrence, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's take a quick break here. Emily Lawler with Mayor's News Service when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by NBC.
Taking a look at your roadways, and we got some early morning problems. Let's head over to Gratiot Avenue in both directions at 26 Mile. That is closed. That's due to a bad accident there. Also on 75 southbound near Grand River, accident has your center lane blocked. And eastbound 94 near Gratiot, accident has your left shoulder blocked. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Next Friday, the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage. Don't miss the biggest event of the year, the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Next Friday, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The U.S. Senate is poised to vote on the Bring Jobs Home Act, a bill that would cut taxes on U.S. companies that move jobs and business operations back to the U.S. The AFL-CIO has waged a campaign in 23 states supporting the Bring Jobs Home Act. Republicans in the U.S. House blocked the bill there. Senator Jay Rockefeller says this act would do the opposite of the outsourcing of U.S. jobs that Mitt Romney's Bain Capital did. Senator Rockefeller says Romney backs more tax cuts for companies that ship American jobs overseas. He says Democrats want to create tax incentives for companies that bring jobs back to America. In California, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors recently approved a living wage for county home care workers, won by the Service Employees International Union. The workers care for the elderly and the poor. Labor advocates say the historic win for workers isn't the end of their fight to improve conditions. Leilani Albano reports.
Union member Renee Davis has spent much of her life caring for her loved ones.
I took care of my mother and father, and nursing is in my family, so I guess that's in my blood.
But with the meager wages she earns in home care, she's had a difficult time caring for herself. Things will be a bit easier following the L.A. Board of Supervisors' decision to give pay raises to home care workers. Davis will be getting a few hundred dollars more in her pocket each year. The pay raise affects 130,000 Los Angeles County members of SEIU United Long-Term Healthcare Workers. They'll be receiving $9.65 an hour.
Oh, God, it was a wonderful thing. Hard work, but we did it.
Even with a living wage, home care workers barely earn enough to make ends meet, and they also receive no sick leave, no vacation time, and have no retirement plan. Union Chief of Staff, Kimberly Yvonne.
This is just the beginning of really trying to figure out how to bring some economic equality to the work that people do.
This story made possible in part by a grant from the Burger Marx Foundation.
The International Longshoremen's Association is heading back into talks with the United States Maritime Alliance on a new labor contract for East Coast and Gulf ports. Job protections on the docks against the advance of automation is a big issue for the ILA. ILA President Harold Daggett says substantial progress was made in earlier talks. The ILA says it's hopeful an agreement can be reached in the talks slated to last through this Saturday. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind? 1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Truppiano, 35 minutes after 7 o'clock in the morning. I want to thank Southfield Mayor and Congressional Candidate Brenda Lawrence for her time in the last half hour. Enjoyed our chat with her a great deal. Well, you know, this is our normal Susan Demas time. Susan's still on vacation, so the very able and more than capable Emily Lawler from Mirrors News Service joins us now, and she actually made me laugh at 2:30 this morning. No, she wasn't with me at 2:30 this morning. Don't start any rumors. It was her note to me, and I said, I assumed that she was going to want to talk about the speaker, Jace Bulger, today. And this is what she wrote me, which made me chuckle this morning. She goes, I'm sure that although you and others may have already covered it ad nauseum. Emily, first of all, welcome back to First Shift. It's a pleasure to have you with us. So let's do that first.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There is no such thing as talking too much about an overbloated Republican getting his foot caught in the trap and not being able to get it out. I have no problem talking about this again.
Well, if you're sure, that's fine by me.
Well, I really actually shouldn't make fun of this, because this is some really, really serious stuff, and this is very, very layered. Now, we've got Mark Brewer on a little over an hour from now, and I'm sure Mark's going to have his own point of view on what happened yesterday. But Emily, let me just throw it out to you, and I'm asking you as a serious journalist to give me your impression of what happened, not just yesterday, but the last 48 hours.
Right. Well, I guess the short synopsis is that a pretty bad prosecutor's report came out, and the conclusion of the Kent County prosecutor was pretty much, they did some bad stuff. As a fellow Republican, I'm embarrassed, but unfortunately, there's not really any laws that we can prosecute them under, which is strange to think about because, I mean, what they did pretty much, holding Schmidt and Bulger equally culpable, really, kind of undermines the political system here in America, which is strange because they're both creatures of that system.
Well, that is, when we stop and think about, and we had Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press on yesterday, and he had said something that really kind of resonated with the audience because I got a lot of email on this, and basically what he said is it really points out how asinine and arcane our election laws here are here in Michigan. And one of the examples he used, of course, was Thaddeus McCotter. He's kind of helped Michigan become politically a little bit of a laughing stock. This doesn't help us at all. In fact, it hurts us in a very serious way, Emily Lawler. And I don't, listen, at the end of the day, is it going to matter? Politically, people have such short memories, so probably not. But I don't know that this goes away real quick either.
Yeah, me neither. And, of course, part of the irony in this whole scheme is that at the same time that Bulger and Schmidt were apparently orchestrating this, the House was passing through this secure and fair elections process or package of bills, the SAFE initiative, which, the Dems have targeted as voter suppression legislation. So it just seems like there's kind of some conflicting priorities. And, between the fake Tea Party and then McCotter and this, it seems like we do maybe need some laws to address some of the things that have happened.
No, there's no question that's true. And certainly we're not going to stay with this topic the entire time I've got you here today. But, one of the things that that we talked about yesterday, and certainly one of the things that we need to continue to be mindful of is literally 48 hours before Roy Schmidt did what he did with Jace Bulger, he allowed Democrats and his constituents, his Democratic constituents, to hold a fundraiser on his behalf where they helped him raise a handsome amount of money. And, man, knowing that, you know, Emily, that's, I think, what bothers me more than anything, knowing that. Now, this has nothing to do with Jace Bulger. This is all on Roy Schmidt. Knowing that 2 days before you're about to do something and allowing that to go forward, I don't know in good conscience if I could have ever done something like that.
Yeah, you know, something that we heard from Schmidt in the aftermath here is kind of, I mean, he did say that pretty much, you know, he was uncomfortable and maybe in over his head, didn't really know what he was doing, especially when it comes to this kind of recruiting a Democrat to run in a seat that he had held. I mean, it's fishy stuff, and it's unclear if he knew how fishy it was when he was doing it, so...
Well, he certainly knows now. Bottom line, we don't know if the Attorney General will do anything. We do know, and I can almost promise you, Emily, when we get Mark Brewer here at 8:50 today, he's going to tell us that he's not letting go until there's justice. Whatever justice looks like in Mark Brewer's world, I'm going to guess that's the message he's going to deliver. I'm going to think you're not going to disagree with that.
I think that's a very safe bet. He not only have a lot of Democrats been calling for the Speaker to step down, Jace Bulger, they've also been calling for maybe new legislation to address some of these concerns. So,
well, let's talk about some of the other reaction, not necessarily directly related to this, but well, I don't know that it isn't directly related to this. With regard, we know that in the House, Rick Hamill, Kate Siegel and others have said, you know, we need an investigation. We know in the Senate, Gretchen Whitmer, who is the minority leader, said, hey, no, we need the Speaker to resign. So amongst Democrats, there's some disagreement. That aside, yesterday was a legislative day. It was the one day session for July. Did it affect, in the bigger picture, do you think it affected the agenda, what was going on with the Speaker, or did they pretty much just kind of go about their program as planned?
Well, I think there was a big emphasis on kind of keeping things normal. But, I mean, I'd imagine that this whole thing coming out the day before they were all going to see each other was actually kind of a good thing in the long run, just because you'd rather be able to talk to your caucus and figure this all out as opposed to having, you know, 1,000 emails flying in every direction trying to get people together to talk about what we should do going forward. So for the Republicans, I don't think it was a bad thing to necessarily be meeting the day after.
All right, let's take a quick call here, Emily. Again, if people want to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Herb in Northville joins us now. Herb, you're on the air with Emily Lawler.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I just want to keep, make sure we keep the pressure on Turncoat Roy. I mean, there is a write-in candidate on the Democratic side this August, and I don't know if there's any way we can get information about how we can help her get over that hurdle so she can be a credible opponent to Turncoat Roy. But yeah, the level of treachery that Roy Schmidt, you know, displayed, it was knowing, it was in advance. He probably knew last year when the maps were redrawn that he was going to consider something like this. He had lunch. It wasn't just a fundraiser. He had lunch with Dianne Slavin, another Democratic representative, that day. I mean, there was nothing. There was no indication that he planned to have, you know, change his registration that afternoon. I mean, but he knew early in May when he signed the paperwork that he was going to flip, and he probably knew earlier than that. So, like, there's just no words to describe the level of treachery that he displayed, and for so little gain. At most, he gets, what, 2 more years in the House?
Well, that is really the interesting, and Herb, thanks for your call. I mean, you know, Emily, that really is the interesting thing here, is because he is term limited. This is his last term, so he only gets 2 more years if he gets that now, and as we know, we've all seen the poll numbers. He's getting, at this point, he's getting trounced in the Michigan Democratic Party has done an exceptional job of publicizing how to do a write-in candidate. I don't know that Roy Schmidt gets beyond August this year.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting if he doesn't. I would assume that this would be one of the least fun ways to see your political career unravel. But yeah, I think Gerb's comment was pretty spot on with what a lot of the Dems in the district and the Dems statewide are feeling is, you know, when was the last time we even saw a candidate kind of turn their back on their own party? It was a long time ago.
Well, as you know, so, your colleague Susan Demas and I agree on one thing. This isn't the first time somebody has switched parties, and there's nothing wrong with somebody switching parties, Emily. It happens literally all the time, all over the country. But there's a right and wrong way to do this. This is not the right way to do it.
Right. This is actually arguably one of the worst ways to do it. I mean, by not only switching parties at the very last minute, not giving them the chance to find anyone, you also tried to block that seat from becoming a competitive Dem seat by putting a fake candidate in there. So.
Well, and very quickly, because we do have to get to a break here, and when we come back, we got a lot of stuff to get to on their side, but and I promise we'll move on from this on the other side for sure. But, you know, will anybody ever learn that we need to stop texting, we need to stop emailing, you know, maybe just a little phone call here and there, or better yet, just in person, and that's it? When will we learn?
Yeah, right. One of the things that, you know, probably the second most disappointing thing might have been some of the text language. There was a lot of, like, the letter U instead of the three letters. And, you know, I personally expected more of my public officials. So.
Well, my producer, Jeff, said that I think it was the word audacity, that the Jace Bolger took the time to write out the word audacity, but for the word B-E, he just put B. Okay,
right?
Dude, come
yeah.
on. You know, really? You couldn't have put an exactly. E on there? Just one more letter? Really? You couldn't have done that? All right. Let's take a quick break. Emily Lawler with Mears News Service is my guest. We will take a very quick break here. A lot to get to on the other side, including the infamous health exchange. Where does agricultural rate as far as a commodity in the state of Michigan, and so much more? You don't want to miss it. Stay where you're at. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310 WDTW.
But you know, we're not going to turn the American people who are uninsured is an issue?
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Dawn Kettinger, the communications director of the Michigan Nurses Association, and Katie Oppenheim, who is a nurse at the University of Michigan Hospital.
And so we expected Lesia to go to that for patients. Instead, she went to Lansing and became co-opted by the corporations and went to the side of the corporations and the system that protects profits, not patients.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Emily Lawler is my guest. She's a journalist with Mirror's News Service, and we're talking statewide news. One of the things, of course, we need to talk about, Emily, is the Supreme Court's decision to affirm the Affordable Care Act, which requires states to do a little due diligence. One of the things that they have to do is something called an exchange, and we can get into the details of that, but for now, that's really not the conversation. The conversation is, the governor says, yep, we are going to do it. We have to do it. It's mandated by law. The legislature says, not so fast. In fact, it wasn't just the legislature. It was Jay Spolger himself that said, not so fast. He wants some answers, Emily Lawler.
Well, the legislature, unfortunately, has been saying not so fast since November of 2011. So they've had a lot of time to look at this issue and taken a lot of testimony on it. And it was kind of assumed, or not assumed, but people were saying that it would get done, or it should get done, to fully implement it by the time the feds require at this session last night, and it just didn't happen. And Jay Spolger said he has more questions, and I think that the opponents are arguing, there's been a lot of questions, there's been a lot of answers, there's been a lot of hearings. It's just kind of one of those things that I don't think that the Republican majority really wants to do in an election year in the House.
Well, you know, we saw, and I don't know if you saw this last week, Texas's Governor Rick Perry, maybe it was the week before, very boldly says, hey, listen, he sent a letter to President Obama and said, we're not going to do this. We're not going to play the game. The problem is that the law mandates that they do this health exchange, and this is about accountability, it's about transparency, it's about fairness, and lots of people benefit from this information. Lots of people, not just Democrats, lots of people, including Republicans. So is this just positioning, in your opinion? And I'm asking your opinion now, of course.
Well, I think that the issue is, it's not necessarily, if the state doesn't create its own system, Michiganders are going to get thrown into the federal system, which, you know, arguably is going to be a lot less personalized, carry perhaps a lot less of the things that we'd like to see as features of our system. Fundamentally, it almost seems like this should be like a state control issue. To me, it almost seems like Republicans should be behind this. I mean, it's state control versus federal control. But on the other hand, I think the issue is just that Republicans don't want to touch anything that has to do with Obamacare.
Well, fair enough, but they're not going to have a choice. At some point, their hands are for it. And there's a deadline on this. I believe it's November 16th. And so I know that the Attorney General at one point had said, Bill Schuette had said, hey, we're going to wait till after the election. I don't know if he meant the August election, if he meant the November election, but if he meant the November election, that would give them literally 9 days. 9 days, which is not nearly enough time to pass that. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. All right. Yeah. How this ends up being a controversy is beyond me, but what's number two? We know what the number one industry is in Michigan. Why is number two so controversial?
Well, there are, as Governor Snyder puts it, a big three. He says agriculture, tourism, and manufacturing is number one. Lately, that's kind of come under debate. A lot of people have pointed to agriculture as the number two industry, but they've been doing that looking at a study from the MSU, Michigan State University Product Center, and that center counts pretty much everything food to fork. So from, you know, whoever's growing your food to if you go to Denny's, what are you eating? So it's a bigger measure of economic impact than necessarily other industries measure like. So when you do it that way, there's about $91 billion in economic activity from the agricultural sector. And people look at the numbers from, you know, manufacturing, tourism, and there's this profit right in the middle with number two. So it's been kind of an interesting battle. I mean, the economist that did the original study said it's not meant to be used as a ranking because other industries aren't measured this way. But a lot of people are still using it as a ranking, despite the author's comments.
Well, you wonder if this is just for bragging rights. I mean, the bottom line is we know we have a very robust agricultural community here in the state of Michigan. We know that, and we're going to actually, this is going to be my segue into talking about Senator Stabenow's race, but we know that she's constantly talking about how critically important agriculture is to Michigan's economy. It's something that she mentions everywhere. Part of it is she's the chair of the Agriculture Committee now, so that's right. I'm sure that's a big part of it. But there is a truth to that. It's not like it's untrue. And, hey, listen, if there has to be a competition between tourism and agriculture, I'll take that fight. I don't mind that.
Fair enough. And manufacturing is still the undoubtable winner.
No question. All right. Well, let's segue into the race. We have maybe no race, really, if you take a look at the polling numbers amongst Republicans for who will battle W. Stabenow for the title of senator. Clark Durant, Gary Glenn, Randy Heckman, if you want to include him, and, of course, Pete Hoekstra. And I don't know how this happens, but that horrible commercial plays in, was it Saginaw this week? I don't know how that ends up happening.
But, yeah, I saw that.
You know, I was it a mistake? Did you hear, Emily? I don't know how it happened. I really don't.
Yeah, they are saying it was a station error, but I don't know. People blame the media a lot, don't they?
Well, trust me, they do. Yeah, you would know that. You're in the media, as am I. All right, so, but the bottom line is we look at that race, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this one out. We don't need Bill Ballinger on this one. It will be Pete Hoekstra versus W. Stabenow in November.
It looks that way, which I think in many ways could be bad because there's not really been a lot of debate or competition between four, if you want to include everyone, candidates. But, I mean, I would say the two very serious contenders would be Hoekstra and Durant, but Durant hasn't really broken single digits in the polls. So it does look like it's shaping up to be a Hoekstra versus Stabenow race here.
It's a bit late. I mean, I am seeing the Durant commercials now here in I don't know where you live, but I live in Southeast Michigan. So I am seeing, the commercials now, and I've got the TV on in the studio every morning, which is really the only time I watch television, but I see them on. They were on. I saw them twice this morning. I saw a Hoekstra commercial twice this morning. So, they're turning up the volume a little bit. I just can't imagine that Clark Durant's going to be able to overcome what is a huge discrepancy. Now, let's put our prognosticating hats on and look towards the general. I've seen the polling. I'm sure you've seen the polling as well. Pete Hoekstra, at this point, and I realize that we're a ways out. We got to get through the primary first. But if it's Hoekstra and Stabenow at this point walks away with it.
I think so, too. I think that Stabenow's been really on top of this issue. She saw kind of 2010 and didn't want it to shape up like that and has really been, you know, making a lot of appearances, doing a lot of public events for the last year or so. She's been gearing up before anyone else geared up, and not to mention is winning the money race hands down. So.
Yeah, and not mention as well that her opponents waited way too long to step up and decide to run against her. Anyway, Emily, we're out of time. I want to thank you for the last couple of weeks. I'm hoping that we get to visit again.
Well, thanks so much, and I hope so, too.
You bet. Emily Lawler with Mirrors News Service. Susan Demas back with us next week. Let's take a quick break for the top of the hour. In the next hour, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, and we'll check in with Mark Brewer. But we got to get out of here. We'll be back.
Can't get next to you, babe. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As we get ready to head into your rush hour traffic, we're following three accidents. First one's over on 75 southbound, just before 8 Mile, has your left lane blocked with heavy traffic from 12 Mile. You got an accident has your right shoulder blocked on 75 southbound near Grand River. And on the Lodge northbound at Telegraph, an overturned vehicle has your two left lanes blocked. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikluszewski. Trayvon Martin's father speaks out, telling NBC's Today Show an apology from shooter George Zimmerman doesn't ring true.
He had no regards for Trayvon's life, and he don't regret taking Trayvon's life. Had George Zimmerman stayed in his vehicle, Trayvon would be with us here today.
Zimmerman, charged with second-degree murder in the shooting, claims it was self-defense. Syria's civil war heating up again. Rebels say Bashar al-Assad's troops are shelling neighborhoods in and around the capital of Damascus, a day after a bomb killed three members of Assad's inner circle. Intense heat continues throughout the nation's midsection, with triple-digit highs from the Dakotas to Texas. Severe storms in the Midwest and Northeast yesterday left thousands without power. And voters in Washington State have something new to like. Residents can now register to vote on Facebook, making the Evergreen State the first to offer voter registration on social media. This is NBC News Radio. The FDA has approved another diet pill, Qsenia, which suppresses appetite and increases the feeling of fullness. NBC's Tom Costello says it's not for everyone, though.
With one out of three Americans battling obesity, the FDA is hoping the rewards of taking Qsenia outweigh the risks. It's intended for the American woman who averages 5'4", but weighs at least 174 pounds and suffers from obesity-related diseases.
Ripple effects from the drought that's ravaging much of the nation, economists say, will be feeling the pinch at the supermarket soon, driving up the prices of everything from cheese and milk to corn and beef. On Wall Street, stock futures this morning point to a higher open. And if you're dying to go to the Olympics but can't find a hotel, would you settle for a cab? A London taxi driver says visitors can sleep in the back seat for $80 a night. David Weeks has converted his taxi into a cozy single bed, complete with a Union Jack blanket. Sweet dreams. I'm Jim Mikluszewski, NBC News Radio.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver Package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 831-12.
Only the Home Depot has Ridgid's new 18-volt X4 Hyperlithium Ion 2-piece combo kit for just $179. A $298 value that includes a compact drill, impact driver, two batteries, and a carrying bag. Unlock the power of Hyperlithium technology. We've got the combination. The new Ridgid X4 combo kit for just $179. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
We are getting a cavalcade of earnings reports this hour. Verizon matching expectations as the number of Fios TV and Internet customers each grew by more than 100,000 last quarter. Travelers Group and Morgan Stanley both report earnings short of forecasts. Southwest Airlines remains the most consistently bright spot in its business, exceeding profit forecasts. The banking business has been a tough place for job security in the past year when the Wall Street Journal says the six biggest banks cut 18,000 jobs. More cuts are coming, as recently signaled by Bank of America, Citigroup, Credit Suisse, and Goldman Sachs. This morning, there's word one of the most powerful banks in Europe, Deutsche Bank, is cutting 1,000 jobs. That report from German newspaper Handelsblatt. In the hour ahead, the latest on new unemployment claim filings from the Labor Department. Later in the morning, June existing home sales from the Realtors Association. Ahead of all that, S&P futures are gaining 6 points, NASDAQ futures up 15. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safelite, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safelite has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safelite, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelite.com.
We're fashion retailers,
wine wholesalers,
a surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners
to fuel innovation and a new economy,
and to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at ibm.com/engines.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change, and change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, it actually does begin with First Shift with Tony Trupiano, and it's not because of me, by the way. It's because of the guests that I have. We actually, in this hour, will be having two guests. Kevin Moore will be joining us in just a moment. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, will be with us at 8:50 to talk about Speaker Jace Bulger and Representative Roy Schmidt, as we continue to take a look at that situation. I will let you know that tomorrow we have Minority Leader Rick Hamill scheduled at 7:35 to discuss this, and then at 7:50 tomorrow, Progress Michigan will be on, as they're coming at this from two very different perspectives. But we'll get to all that later today and tomorrow. In the meantime, gentlemen, an introduction, and let's get this thing going.
Joining us now from Teamsters Local 299.
A labor leader who defines with his deeds leadership and bravely guides his membership with courage and strength.
Here we are today embarking on another fight, another challenge that the state of Michigan is continuously attacking working class families. Not just union families, working class families, middle class people in Michigan are under the biggest attack of their lifetime.
The plain talking union man,
Kevin Moore.
And joining us now is my friend and brother, Kevin Moore. And as always, sir, it's a pleasure to see you once again.
Good morning. Good morning to everybody. This is the best hour of my 2 weeks.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. We've got some important stuff to talk about today. We were talking before the show, and I really do want to quickly mention this. As you know, Union Circle has become a recent sponsor of the show. They're big supporters of not just the Teamsters, but the president of its local 299U. Both Joe and Gary are big fans of yours, Kevin. And in fact, they come to me through you, so I want to thank you for that. But UnionCircle.com really is an exciting opportunity for people either in or outside of the union movement. If they've not gone and checked it out yet, they should.
Absolutely. The Latini group, Gary and Joe, and are fantastic guys. They talk the talk and walk the walk. They have multiple companies in the greater Detroit metropolitan area, and they welcome unions, actually. They just approached me to start negotiating a union contract for the workers of Union Circle. So they stand by what they believe in. They want union families. They want workers that have longevity. They want to make sure they have proper conditions. So this is a great group, and I couldn't have thought of a better plan than when these guys sat down and did a round table a year ago and started coming up with Union Circle. It's a fantastic idea to get union families, and not just union families, working families.
Working families,
this
right.
is a social media site that's going to bring millions of people together. We have 40 million union members that we can bring into one circle that we can educate them and unite our voice. And it's going to do nothing but grow and grow and grow. And I commend them for having the foresight. I'm proud to be a part of it, as long as with the multitude of unions. The unions are coming in droves to be a part of Union Circle.
Yeah, and one of the things I've been saying to this audience, which I know you believe, is to be involved in something on the ground floor like this is really kind of exciting. And that the way they've set it up, I'm a big technology guy, so the way they've set this up, integrating it with Twitter and Facebook and any other way you would want to integrate it, and they're so open to growing it, and they've done such a wonderful job early on. And we're going to actually have them on in a couple weeks and talk about how this came to be and what their hopes are for it. And so I'm looking forward to having them on the show. But anyway, thank you for introducing us to them and them to us. And I'm looking forward to growing with them. And again, just a great group of people.
It'll be a great relationship, I promise.
And I want to point something out before we move on, because in case it escaped people, you said they approached you about unionizing the workers. You didn't approach them. They approached you. I just wanted that. That's how proactive these guys
they
are.
They knocked on my door.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That's great.
That's commendable.
Yeah, that is commendable. No question about it. All right. You're a busy guy, so we set this up. Hey, yeah, there's that cell phone. Welcome to live radio. We set this up, but I work through your executive administrator, Donna. And so we often email back and forth, and she said, hey, Kevin wants to talk about Weingarten rights. And I wrote her back, said, okay, well, it looks like I need to go do some homework. She was nice enough to send me a lot of information, but I did go out and do some homework, and wow, what a great topic. So I'm going to actually just throw it to you, and then we'll take it. What are Weingarten rights? Because I think a lot of people, unless they're in a union, are probably scratching their head going, Weingarten what?
Well, it was, at one time, it was for union and non-union workers. In 1975, a Weingarten rule was put into effect in 1975 with the National Labor Relations Act to give union workers rights under the NLRB. That employers couldn't bring you in and do investigational hearings, you would say, to have discipline against you, that you had a right to have a union representation with you if there was going to be any fact-finding or anything that could lead to discipline, discharge on the job, and that you had the right to have representation with you. And it changed the game for the employers. And it is something, and even today, Tony, we have to educate our people about the Weingarten rights, because they don't understand they have them. Some people come to work every day. They work their 10, 12-hour shift. They go home to their kids and their wife, and they go to baseball, and choir practice into things with the children. And they don't understand that they have these rights on the job. But the employer and, you know, can be kind of a dictator to these employees. And most employees are afraid to say no to the employer. And
understandably. I mean, you know, listen, this is a tough time. Kevin, I was talking this morning about Mayor Dave Bing imposing, I don't even want to say a contract, imposing these draconian measures on the city workers. And listen, tell me that somebody hasn't said to at least one of these people, hey, you should feel lucky to even have a job. So I understand where they might feel a little hinky about, you know, standing up to management. They need their job.
Well, I mean, you brought up the city of Detroit. I mean, I take my hat off to the union members of the city of Detroit. A year and a half ago, they went to the table and negotiated concessions for the city of Detroit. And then here, a year and a half later, he comes in and imposes more of a pay cut on the union workers. And it's just nothing but browbeating the employee who feels anymore that they have no rights. I mean, God-fearing the non-union side of this sector, I mean, they have no rights.
Right.
They're in modern-day slavery. You come to work, you shovel whatever stuff they're going to shovel at you. You stay as long as they tell you to go. Heaven forbid you try to get sick. The dynamics that are changing out here is astronomical. It's kind of funny. I watched the movie over the weekend. I don't know if you ever watched a movie called In Time.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I sat back after watching this sci-fi movie, and I said, holy God, this is what's happening in America.
Yeah, it is what's happening.
And, you know, they use their life as a time study where everything you did, you got time for it. And the one percenters lived on the other side of the guarded gate, and they had hundreds of years of time, and they lived day by day, and you would just fall out and die. And I'm thinking, yes, a sci-fi movie, but it actually is what's happening to middle-class America in this country.
Well, I mean, this stuff is based on reality. We could talk about the very, very popular movie that just came out a couple months ago called The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games was all about the 1%. I mean, that's what it was all about. Let me just read something from the Weingarten Rights. It
sure.
says, when the employer makes the request for, when the employee makes a request for union representation, to be present, management has three options. One, it can stop questioning until the representative arrives. Number two, it can call off the interview. Or three, it can tell the employee that it will call off the interview unless the employee voluntarily gives up his or her rights to a union representative, an option the employee should always refuse.
And the third one is the one that they mislead because of lack of education on the employee's part. Is they ask them if they're going to give up their rights. And if they don't understand the rule, that 80% of them say, well, okay, we'll talk. They're afraid to say no. And there's where the investigation slights, because they're going to go into a management meeting with two or three, and somebody's always taking notes on everything you say. And you're not asking counterpoint questions, and somebody taking notes on your side, so you can have duty of fair process here. And so this Weingarten, I'm glad we are talking about it, because we need to educate the people.
Now, this is a big topic, Kevin.
And it's a big topic for union people that we continue to tell them, don't forget the Weingarten rights. We put it in our newsletters. I mean, it is a rule that is being hidden for many, many years, and it needs to be completely talked about on a weekly basis at the worksite.
I'm going to continue to read, and because, again, this is about educating and... Well, we'll wait after the break, because we got to get to the break. There's a lot more that we want to talk. I want people to understand. And Kevin, I don't mean any disrespect to the Teamsters or any other union. I do believe we need to do a better job of, when we bring new people into the unions, of orientation. I don't know how we do it, because I know you offer it. It's just people taking advantage of it. And if we could make it mandatory, we need to, because people have no clue what they're missing out on. They don't take advantage of the union rights. All right, we're up against the break. We'll come back, folks. Sorry, we're just running up against it. We'll be back right after this.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. As we head into your rush hour commute, of course, we got accidents to look out for. Let's head over to 96 westbound at Kent Lake Road, where your right shoulder is blocked by a two-car accident there. The Lodge northbound at US 23 is still working there. They got an overturned vehicle that has your left two lanes blocked. Another accident on 75 southbound just before 8 Mile. That has your left shoulder blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from Rochester Road. And also got reports of a tire in the roadway, so use some caution on 96 eastbound at Fowlerville Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Marge Favell, president of SEIU. When Wall Street greed caused the foreclosure and credit crisis that crippled middle-class families, Gary Peters wrote the most sweeping reform of Wall Street since the Great Depression.
This is Jimmy Settles.
And this is Chuck Hall of the UAW. When the auto industry was near collapse, U.S. Congressman Gary Peters stepped up to work with President Obama to save hundreds of thousands of jobs for our families.
This is Michael Aaron, president of the Michigan Laborers District Council. When the big banks celebrated our tax-funded bailouts with big bonuses for themselves, Gary Peters wrote legislation to force them to give it back.
And this is Al Garrett, president of Ask Me Council 25. All of us fight each day for jobs and collective bargaining rights. Together, we represent nearly 200,000 hard-working families in and around Detroit. And we need Gary Peters on the front line fighting for us in Washington. Vote Gary Peters in the 14th District.
I'm Gary Peters, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back.
Tony Trupiano.
Yeah. I always talk over my own name. Welcome back. 888-552-3595. If you care to join us, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, is my guest. We're talking about Weingarten rights. I was going to read this before the break, so let me get to it now.
Sure.
It says the Supreme Court has also ruled that during an investigation interview, management must inform the union representative of the subject of the interrogation. The representative must also be allowed to speak privately with the employee before the interview. During the questioning, the representative, that would be the union representative, can interrupt to clarify a question or to object to confusing or intimidating tactics. How important is that union rep in that meeting, Kevin?
Oh, it's night and day, because the employer, like I said earlier, will have two or three people in that room. They will be firing questions at the employee, and without a representative there, who will basically be your counsel. You know, they need to run the questions at us. You bounce it around and you come back with an answer, because an employee, a worker, gets into that environment. It's out of his environment. They panic. They start talking too much. It's just like when you go to court. You know, you over talking. You answer the questions directly. You don't babble on. You don't banter. Because every time you ask, they ask you a question. They know the answer they want from that question. And then they have a counter question to try to trap you in the back door with that question. And it's just like any other process in an investigatory meeting, is you're trying to lay out their facts. You're trying to get common ground on your facts to try to meet in the middle to come up with a resolution. And if they're got 3-1 and you're unarmed, you're going to lose that battle 95% of the time.
Well, again, this just takes us back to the conversation that we had earlier, and where you, I obviously very clearly stated what's obvious to me, and which is also the truth. They're looking to intimidate. They understand that there's a intimidation factor. Listen, this is not outside the realm of possibility. Little role play here, Kevin Moore. All I have to do as management is say to you, listen, dude, you don't answer my question, you're fired. Under Weingarten rights, they don't have a right to say that.
They have no right to say that. None at all.
But how many people don't know that? What about if you're non-union? Let's talk about non-union. Do you have non-union Weingarten rights?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because when this was enacted in 1975, the AEI DuPont in 1988 tried to do a non-union representational fact for NLRB for non-union employees. It was stricken down. 12 years later, the Epilepsy Foundation, in 2000, under NLRB 676, ruled that non-union people should have the right to the NLRB. And from 2000 to 2006, they had rights under the NLRB. It wasn't the equal rights, but they had rights of fair representation and had a body to go to if they felt that they were mistreated or fired unjustly. But then the big bad corporation IBM come rolling in and challenged the epilepsy rule in the middle 2000s. Administrative law judge took it up before a harassment case, and the good old Republicans, 3-2, outvoted the Democrats and struck the NLRB ruling, and so the non-union sector of our country have no rights under the NLRB. And the administrative law judge and the Republicans quoted that there was no common ground for non-union people. They have no rights to collective bargaining. What they're trying to do in the state of Michigan today is strip everybody of their collective bargaining. That they had no fair duty to represent a non-union employee, so they weren't on common ground as a union employee. So, I mean, if you just go and study this ruling and what it does to an employee to be a part of a union, it's night and day.
Yeah.
I mean, and they are basically telling you under this act that you don't have any common ground with a union employee. You're less than a worker as a union employee. And to me, it's just asking for just fair respect on the job.
Well, taking us back to this intimidation factor, this, you know, you should feel lucky to have a job right now. I mean, there is... let's talk about rank and file folks. I'll go to my Facebook page, where a lot of drama plays out, by the way, during the day. There are conservatives and liberals and people of all backgrounds that hang out on that Facebook page all day long, and we're always posting articles and different opinions, and the more conservative rank and file workers, and there are plenty of them that hang out there, love to say, oh, I'm just happy to have a job, you know, and it's about... It's just about fairness, and if you go to work and you give a fair day's work, you're going to get paid fairly, and if it's not, well, then maybe you're the problem. Maybe it's not your employer. And it's like, wow, that's a real dangerous tightrope to walk. Of course, the question, and they never answer it, the question I always ask them is, What if you were to be the guy that, you know, I know you're the perfect employee because they're always the perfect employee, but what if all of a sudden, you know, management comes after you? They never answer that question.
Oh, yeah. If the pendulum swung the other way, they sure would be hollering and screaming and stomping up on the ground for their rights, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you would think. But again, they never answer that question.
That's funny that we're talking about this. Wine guy writes, I was at one of our employers a week ago. Hobbled over there after recovering from surgery, and I'm standing there talking to the guys, and there again, there's our 1% of our union people that are this far-right extremist come up to me and said, I don't know why you guys are beating up on the Republican Party, and what's wrong with right to work? I'm a gun-toting right-wing Republican. I don't need a union. I come to work every day. I do a good job, right? Well, it's kind of funny because this same right-wing, gun-toting Republican called me this week, and he's up for discharge for not coming to work on absenteeism. And if he didn't have that so-called collective bargaining agreement that he works under, he would have already been fired, and he would be going under the non-union act of the NLR, I mean, the Weingarten, right? So he wouldn't have any representation. So now he's not so far right. He's not so gun-toting Republican. Now he says, I'm so glad we have a collective bargaining agreement. This is how fast things get twisted.
Yeah, well, that's okay because, you know, I do want to make a point here. You are as much there for that guy as you would be for anybody else because that's your responsibility. That's your obligation. You take that very seriously. So no matter what his political affiliation is, you're still going to be there for that person. And I know that, Kevin.
Well, he already got his job back. We already saved his job.
Right.
That has no bearing on the fact. I don't have to go out and hang out with him and have a Bud Light with him.
Right.
But I'll represent him just like he's my best friend.
Of course, because that is your obligation. He pays union dues as well. He has right and should have rights and access to what any other member has. But, if you're listening out there right now, Just remember that sometimes your politics can hinder the process. That's all I'm going to say. All right, we're going to take another quick break here. More to get to on Weingarten Rights. We're also going to talk about the Democratic National Convention coming up here right after Labor Day. Kevin will be there, as will I. Kevin Moore, my guest, president of Teamsters Local 299. If you care to join us, now would be a great time to give us a call. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after we take this break.
Continuous traffic watch.
As we head into your rush hour commute, of course, we got accidents to look out for. Let's head over to 96 westbound at Kent Lake Road, where your right shoulder is blocked by a two-car accident there. The Lodge northbound at US 23 is still working there. They got an overturned vehicle that has your left two lanes blocked. Another accident on 75 southbound just before 8 Mile. That has your left shoulder blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from Rochester Road. And also got reports of a tire in the roadway, so use some caution on 96 eastbound at Fowlerville Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and the other Wall Street behemoths that dominate American banking? Who needs them?
After enduring years of insatiable greed by the slick-fingered hucksters who run these gambling houses, after watching in dismay as their ineptness and avarice drain more than $19 trillion from America's household wealth since 2007 and plunged our real economy into financial crisis, after seeing them get trillions of dollars in taxpayer bailouts to save their banks and their jobs, and now, after learning that they've returned to paying multimillion-dollar bonuses to themselves, we have to ask, huh? Oh, no, no, cry the banking titans. Don't even think of looking behind the curtain. Trust us, for we are essential to juicing the economy with our complex abracadabra investment schemes. In fact, however, those schemes just move money around, siphoning real investment capital from the grassroots up to super-rich global profiteers. Shell games at carnival sideshows are more honest than big bank trading houses, for the hustles of J.P. Morgan, Goldman, BOA, etc. are based on financial illusions, off-the-books accounting, illegally leveraged borrowing, ridiculous tax subsidies, and hide-the-pee secrecy. This is Jim Hightower saying, the obvious truth is that these high-flying, high-tech, high-speed emporiums of high finance serve themselves, not us, so we have no obligation or need to keep serving them. Of course we need banks to lend to us consumers and our productive businesses, to handle our commercial transactions, to manage our savings and provide financial advice, etc. But that's not what the Leviathans of Wall Street do. So, rather than protecting them, let's decentralize America's capital, reinvesting our public trust in community banks and credit unions that actually serve it and deserve it. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour. Again, Kevin Moore, my guest. He is the president of Teamsters Local 299. We are going to go to the phones. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Jerry in Farmington Hills, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Kevin Moore.
Yeah, thanks a lot for what you're doing today. This is very informative to me. I was a union member for 40-plus years between the United Auto Workers, Teamsters, and the IBEW, and this is the first time I've ever heard it, you know, exactly what the Weingarten rule is, or Weingarten rights are, you know. A little interesting story on my part. This is some years ago, working for a contractor, and they wanted to discharge me, and they basically said, you don't have to sign this paper unless you want to. And I, it's a good thing I read it over because they picked a time where the steward was out of the job site, you know. And, you know, they basically had me sign something that basically I'm admitting to do total responsibility or guilt for whatever the charges were at the time.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, Jerry, thank you for the call and
thanks for
your comments. You know, it's interesting Jerry says that because he said they, you know, waited for the steward to be out of the building. They know it. Management knows what they're doing, Kevin. They know their, well, they think they know their ways around this stuff. Of course, had he had signed that, and that which would have been illegal, you know, they would have had one hell of a problem, legally.
And this is the kind of stuff they do to the non-union sector employee all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just think it's again, it's critically important that people understand that they do have rights. I'm gonna post a link to, when I get back to my office, a link to the Weingarten rights so that everybody has access to them and they understand them very, very quickly so that we don't have to rush. Right after Labor Day is the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. We will be there with the show. My son Anthony and I will be headed that way. I know that you'll be there as well. Not your first convention. In fact, you and I were together in Boston some years back. Why are these conventions, do you think, important besides just rallying the troops?
Well, I think it is a great way to get the people together. It is a great way to set message. And to have people in the Democratic Party of all walks of life come together. And I enjoy it immensely going to them. Boston was the one that you and I sat there, and General President Hoff and I were standing on the floor when Barack Obama, as a senator, was giving his speech. And we both looked at each other and turned to look at each other, you know, and we said, you know, that guy someday could be the first black president of the United States.
Well, I got
Lord
on the radio
knows,
the next
know
day.
I didn't know he was going to move that fast, but he was that inspiring then, just like he is now. And so I am so glad that we are going together to the convention. We're going to have to get Hoff on your radio show live from the convention.
Well, we're going to have to get you live on the show from the convention.
We'll give him a 1-2 punch.
So, well, no, I, you know, it's one of the reasons that I like going there's always a Michigan contingent there, of course, and so I like to, you know, bring those people that are there. The people have no idea, the rank-and-file Democrats that show up, precinct delegates. And by the way, I am now running for precinct delegate in Dearborn Heights. I'll tell you that story during the break.
You got my vote.
Well, I appreciate that. But it's so important. I really do believe that it's so important that people understand, even with the Republicans, these conventions are not just about a rah-rah session. There's a platform. There are serious meetings. In fact, the platform committee is actually meeting in Detroit previous to the convention convening in early September. They're coming in August. There's some serious business that goes on as well. It's not just all prime time speeches. There's some serious stuff that goes on.
A lot of serious stuff is going on. A lot of work is being done now behind the scenes. It is an enormous amount of work to bring everybody together in Michigan. I got to take my hat off to Mark Brewer and the Democratic Party. And when they get there, their work is done. They're working religiously around the clock. But I think the point that you made is great for me is I travel all over the country too. But when I come to Michigan and get with my Michigan Dems from all across the state and to see, like you just said, you're running for precinct delegate, to see that precinct delegate get elected and then get an opportunity to go to a convention or be a part of his community, that is something that you and I relish because it's a maturity process, growing our ranks through the grassroots effort. And I enjoy it. I have the time of my life, and glad to be going.
Well, it'll be exciting. Although there is a little controversy this year, it's in a right-to-work state. But, you know, this was all very deliberate. People are going, what are the Democrats thinking? Well, they were thinking. They don't just willy-nilly go, well, let's piss off a bunch of Democrats and do it this way. That's not what they were doing. And so I always find it interesting. Although, I'll be honest with you, I was a little conflicted because there's not a union shop anywhere to be found in North Carolina. You just can't find one. You can't find a union hotel. You can't find a union anything there.
Well, there's a lot of debate going about why they picked that place.
Yes, there is. In fact, some unions are boycotting and not going. Certainly, some of them did not, as they traditionally have done, donate to the convention. Although the Democrats did something the Republicans would never do. They decided at this convention that they wouldn't accept corporate donations, which is something they've never, ever done before. And they've not raised nearly the money that they did. But you know how they dealt with that, Kevin? They shortened the convention by a day, which was saved them actually the biggest chunk of money. And they've made it more retail. And what I mean by that, they've made it more about the people that are going to be there and not the politicians that are going to be there. I think that's all right.
I think that's commendable.
So we'll wait and see what happens. But I'm very, very, very excited about going. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for Anthony to see democracy in progress. And I'm hoping that we can get into the arena the night the president gives his acceptance speech for his second term, because that's going to be a slice of history that I want him to experience.
But we'll have to work on getting you in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I just I think that that'll be critical. And I told him, and I'll tell you and anybody that's listening right now, what happens in Charlotte stays in Charlotte.
So, sounds like a team's going.
I've already warned my son. You know, that I'll leave it there. I will absolutely just leave it there. Very quickly, we've got, will you be with us again before the primary? I don't know that you will.
God, I lost track of time with the surgery. Today's date is what, the 20th?
The 19th. So I think you'll be, yes, you will be with us before the primary. You know, we had Stephen Henderson from the Free Press on yesterday, and the Free Press came out with some of their endorsements last Sunday. The rest of them will be this weekend. How hard is the endorsement process?
We take it quite serious. I mean,
oh, I know
our joint counsel with Robinson and Nowak and Bill Black and I, we do a vetting process because it's important. I mean, you're going to ask your membership to give them their vote, which in our belief is the most important thing you can do to a person is ask them to follow your lead and use their voting power to support a candidate that you're endorsing. So we vet them. We bring them in. We talk to them. We do a round table. It's just not just a glad handshake and you got our endorsement. Something you have to take very important because you're asking your constituency and your body and your electors to follow you and vote for it. So it's a fun process for us because, you know, you get a whole multitude of characters coming in and asking for endorsements.
Any truth to the myth, and I think it's a myth, that you only invite Democrats or do you invite Republicans?
That's
to the
not
process?
True. We invite them all.
Okay.
We invite them all, so no one's going to say that they didn't have a chance to sit down and talk.
Not everybody will take you up on it, but you do invite them all.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, no, I think it's important that
sure.
You know, people believe that, well, the unions only support Democrats. Now, we know that's not true. We do know that's not true, but, you know, it starts with the endorsement process. It starts with that interview or with the survey or whatever it is. You know, everybody does it a little differently.
And you and I have had this discussion many times. There's times that the Teamsters Union and our movement has supported a Republican that has our value system in place and is stand behind what he said he was going to do. And if they do that, then they've had our endorsement. And when they stop doing that is when they don't have our endorsement. We're looking to replace them and put somebody else in there that will.
And you're not afraid to do that.
No, we're not.
Well, that's the important thing. You know, that's when union works. See, that is really when union works. This idea, you know, people have this idea in their head that once you pay your union dues, and that's the other myth. People think their dues go towards political causes, and they don't. The dues has absolutely nothing to do with politics, which is another myth that I would love to bust. If that's the only one we were successfully busting, when you pay your union dues, there isn't literally not one penny of it goes to anything political.
That's why you and I had that conversation a few weeks ago about the super PACs and the big power money. They don't want to report who's giving them the money, what corporation, what donors giving the money, but we as a union, if I have a member that gives me $1 a week, and that's how we raise our money.
Right, a dollar at a time.
We have to report who it is and what company they work for and how much they gave us. So that is the unfair playing field that we're on today, and we have to keep pounding this on this radio show, and you are the voice for us to do that. I commend it.
You'll get a kick out of this. The U.S. Senate, either was yesterday or the day before, the Republicans voted down what they called the Disclosure Act, which would have required all candidates to report where their contributions come from. Republicans said no. They filibustered it. Wouldn't do it.
No, they're not going to do that because they're bought and paid for, rubber stamped.
It'll be interesting to see how this thing all plays out. We're a long way from this election being over with. I got to tell you, people, you warned us a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, don't believe the polls. Barack Obama needs us to go to work, and he still needs us to go to work.
Oh, absolutely, we need to go to work. They're trying to put the myth out there that Michigan's not a battleground state.
Oh, we're
don't
in play,
kid yourself.
Baby.
We
we're
are
in
more
play.
Than a battleground state.
Absolutely.
We are in the forefront of the battle.
All right. Keep healing, all right?
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for making way for Mark Brewer today. I appreciate it.
I'll give him my best. He's doing a fantastic job.
You bet. All right. We'll take a quick break here, folks. When we come back, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. A little bonus time with the chairman. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Governor only took a leave of absence from his company to go save the Olympics. And he ended up not going back at all and retired retroactively to February of 1999.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now.
Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Pleasure to be back with you. I want to thank Kevin Moore once again. I always want to thank Kevin Moore. He does such an amazing job of really just explaining that we call him the plain talking union man for a reason, because he can take the most complicated stuff and make it understandable for all of us. And I know I appreciate that. I know many of you do as well, by virtue of the emails that you send, which is great. As you all know, we've been discussing this now for the last 2 days, and we're going to continue it again tomorrow. The ongoing controversy, and this is a controversy. In fact, it's criminal what's happened. House Speaker Jace Bolger and Representative Turncoat Roy Schmidt still have a lot of explaining to do, at least in my opinion. I wanted to make sure that we turned our attention to somebody that ultimately I respect and trust 100%. And that person is Chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. He joins us now to walk us through this a little bit. Mark, first of all, I want to thank you for giving us a little extra time this week. I know how busy you've been.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony. Yeah, we've been very busy with this scandal, growing scandal involving Roy Schmidt and Jace Bolger, both the Free Press and the News. You probably saw this morning scathing editorials about both of them. Today, Tony, the state party's going to refile a complaint we filed back in May over the illegal use of state resources, text messaging, et cetera, as part of this scheme. Ruth Johnson originally dismissed that for lack of evidence. We now have this scathing report from the prosecutor in Kent County, which documents the use of state resources, so we're going to file that. Of course, he has referred the campaign finance violations by Roy Schmidt to the Secretary of State as well. And then finally, Tony, I think from a political perspective, what's now going to happen is that all of the members of the Republican caucus in the House are going to have to choose between their corrupt, lying speaker and getting reelected, because we are going to make this an issue in every race around the state. We're going to put all these Republicans on the spot. Do they support this kind of unethical, illegal conduct by their own leader or will they call for him to step down? And we're going to make him make that choice, Tony.
You know, Mark, you said something that really strikes me as remarkable. Our Secretary of State, Republican Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, said that turn back your claim for lack of evidence, although there is damning evidence to the contrary. Does this lead us to believe that she never did an investigation?
Oh, no, she did not do an investigation at all. She has been part of this cover-up from the beginning, and that's why we can't let up, Tony. All progressives and Democrats in the state, all of your listeners, we cannot let up here because there are still people like Ruth Johnson and Bill Schuette, obviously the Speaker himself, who are seeking to sweep this under the rug. There's a need for ongoing investigations here. Our leader in the House, Rick Campbell, has called for an investigation in the House itself as to whether House rules were violated, and I'm pretty confident that they were. So there are a lot more investigations that need to come here. And again, ultimately, the Republicans in the House particularly, but the Republicans generally, are going to have to decide whether they stand with their corrupt, lying Speaker of the House or whether they stand for honest election practices, not trying to rig elections like Jace Bolger tried to do here.
All right, a couple of quick questions, Mark, before we let you go this morning. Number one, the Speaker Jace Bolger is indeed saying that all the Democrats are trying to do is politicize the process. That offends me as a voter, as somebody that believes in democracy. This isn't about politicizing something. In fact, if we could accuse anybody of politicizing the process, it would be Speaker Bolger by what he did with Representative Schmidt. Or do I not understand this properly?
No, you've got it, Tony. Plus, the answer to all that is this scathing report was written by a Republican prosecutor in Kent County. He said he's embarrassed as a Republican elected official by what Schmidt and Bolger did here. So you don't have to take it from Tony Trupiano. You don't even have to take it from Mark Brewer. Read the report, which is out there on the Internet. It's on our website. It's as damning as it could be in terms of what happened here. This is not about politics. This is about honesty and fairness in elections. And Schmidt and Bolger crossed the line.
Well, I've also got to ask about Republican Attorney General Bill Schuette. He has been literally silent on this entire scandal. How can you be the chief law enforcement officer of a state and not comment on what's happening?
Oh, I agree, Tony. There's a real double standard in this state now we see when it comes to law enforcement. The Republicans threw the book at those Oakland County Democrats who were allegedly involved in a fake Tea Party a couple years ago. But nothing has been done in terms of holding Schmidt and Bolger criminally liable, civilly liable, in any way liable for what they did here, which is far, far worse. So again, we're waiting on Schuette, on Johnson, on responsible members of the Republican Party to step up and say, we're not going to put up with this. I mean, you look back at Watergate, Tony, it took some real courage for people back in that era to say, Richard Nixon's got to go. We cannot stand this kind of corrupt leadership in the Republican Party. We're waiting to see whether any Republicans answer that call now.
Well, we are waiting to see. And, of course, we're going to continue to shed light on this, Mark. I would imagine that when we've got you back on Monday, this is obviously still going to be one of the topics we must discuss. This isn't about, you know, trying to make something out of nothing. We're not trying to make hay out of water. This is a serious, serious violation, and it needs to be treated as such. We can't just let it go. I read where Representative Tom McMillan said there isn't an investigation. Let's just move on and let it go. How can he be so flip?
Well, again, they're not going to do anything, Tony, unless there's public pressure. I would urge all of your listeners to today, as soon as possible, call 877-BOLGER, B-O-L-G-E-R-1. That's the Speaker's office in the House in Lansing, and demand that he resign. Demand that he own up to this scandal and resign. That's the way we're going to get through this, Tony, is by the public pressure of people calling, writing, emailing, keeping the pressure up on the Speaker of the House.
Well, we're going to make sure that we get that number distributed throughout our network as well. Mark, we're out of time for today. I want to thank you, Mark Brewer, for your leadership, and we'll look forward to talking to you on Monday.
Thank you, Tony. Talk to you on Monday.
My pleasure. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Folks, MichiganDems.com is where you're going to find all the information you need. MichiganDems.com. Please go check out the reports there. You do want to go check that out. You do want to read that. We did post yesterday to Facebook the text messages that went back and forth, not just between Speaker Boulder and Rep. Schmidt, but between the fake candidate and representatives of these camps. Folks, this is criminal activity. There is criminal activity here. Just because there weren't specific laws that neatly fit into this situation does not mean that they didn't do something illegal. Do you understand that? All right, we got to get out of here for today. You got to know Joe DeSano tomorrow. This has got to be part of that discussion. Minority Leader Rick Hamill, Jessica Trey Montana from Progress Michigan. This is not going away. 877-BOLGER1, B-O-L-G-E-R-1. We'll get it posted to Facebook a little later on. That's it for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, and it is busy. We got an accident reported on 275 northbound at Ann Arbor Road. Northbound 75 at 13 mile, your left shoulder's blocked, and that's causing slow traffic on 696. Now 94 east and west near 75, flooding in the left lanes, and that's causing slow traffic there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to reach a high of 80 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, 65 with scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 83 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 72 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is